all about the eye. And I guess, let me stay on the subject. Where were you this time 18 years ago?
Walking down the hall in my office. I remember that distinctly when a patient asked me as we were walking to the exam room, did you hear about the plane crash? And I didn't know anything about it because we don't have the news on. And I thought it was a small plane. I had no idea. I thought it was just an accident.
Thank you for that. I was actually in Germany working for WGJR, and we were doing a remote, and obviously, 5 years ahead of time, that was an interesting experience. We were able to get home 1 or 2 days later than anticipated, but being in another country was good, bad, or the ugly, one of the two. So let's talk about you and certainly how life goes on and how's technology gone on. Changing the eye care profession is our topic. And I understand you've been in the practice, am I allowed to say, 40 years this week?
40 years. Yeah, actually, Labor Day week. Yes. It's scary.
Yeah, congratulations.
How'd I get there?
Following your passion. Well, one day at a time, you get to wake up. Has technology changed how you deliver comprehensive eye care as an optometrist?
Great question. I had somebody ask me that the other day. Has it changed anything? And I said, absolutely, almost everything that we do. In fact, my partners that I came into practice with probably couldn't practice a lot today because of all the change. And the basic skills we had is still that, but what's been added to it. So, yes.
What's the biggest change?
Computers. To start with, we didn't have computers involved in our practice. We had typewriters for a while, but computerize everything, whether it's, we have electronic health records, electronic medical records. We're required to do that. We're required to put everything in there. We're required by the insurance companies. We can't bill an insurance company today basically by paper. So there's the computers there. We have to code everything. The new program, there's 147,000 codes for the human body. We only have to write 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 in the right order. And that has to be entered in the computer. And so just in general, the computers and the computerization of that.
Your equipment. Are you still asking me which is better, 1 or 2?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We still need the subjective response from you, the patient. Okay. We have fancy autorefractors and other things that can measure your prescription without going by your answer to get a baseline. But how your nervous system accepts that is individual with each patient. I can have 3 patients that measure a -2 and once...
Is -2 good or bad?
A little bit nearsighted, okay? And a little bit nearsighted. They see 20 inches away. And I end up prescribing 3 different amounts because their body will want to accept more, accept less. And which is better, 1 or 2, we still go through. But the equipment that you look through now, some of the equipment is much more advanced. We have a system where it measures in 1 degree increment rather than 5 degrees. And it's more... More digital lenses, so there's not as much the choice for the patient is easier because of the technology of looking through the machine. So everything that we test for, glaucoma used to be only testing by visual field, by hand, and you look straight ahead, when does something come from the side and disappear? Mm-hmm. The machinery now that we have can measure the thickness of the nerves in the eye, can measure the function.
Do the electronics make everything easier for you?
It doesn't make it easier. Have you ever sat down to a computer with a new program and said, oh, it's going to run itself? No. Patients say that to me all the time. Oh, it's computerized. You have nothing to do. It's more complicated to run it, but the results we get are more defined, are much more accurate. So we can detect a lot of things sooner in terms of medical stuff, conditions, whether it's in the back of the eye, the front of the eye. We can measure much more accurately with the electronics. And again, in smaller increments, the technology, we can grind lenses in smaller increments. So it's like, say, going to the shoe store, and if you could only buy full-size shoes, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, or 12, we can basically get 16ths of shoes. We can get that small increments now with the electronics. We can measure it in that small. So we can get very exact and determine health condition sooner, glaucoma, macular degeneration. So if you can determine it sooner, you can start treatment sooner.
Isn't that the bottom line, what it's all about? What other testing devices then would be considered new in the last, say, 10 to 15 years?
Well, we've had a camera that'll take a picture of your retina. We've had a camera for 30 years. 30 years ago, it used a Polaroid, okay, and took a Polaroid image of a small segment. Today's instrument, which we can do with a non-dilated eyeball, we can get a 180-degree view of the back of your eye. So it's like a panoramic on an iPhone. Rather than taking this small little spot picture and seeing a 10-degree view, I can get a 180-degree view of somebody's back of their eye, and I can see stuff way out there that, frankly, even looking in a dilated eye is tough to see. So we can do much more expansive examination and not have to put the patient through a lot of tough stuff. OCT, which is a laser that is kind of like an MRI for the back of the eye, we can measure deeper layers. You know, in a few seconds, it takes an image. We can look at it sideways and can tell if there's lower macular degeneration or fluid leaking. Glaucoma testing. You know, rather, we have a portable glaucoma stuff. So with a drop in your eye, we can touch the front of your eye without it being too awkward for the patient.
You don't blow do the poof?
Puff of air is still done as a screening device, but it's not as accurate as actually touching the eye and indenting it. So
the eye can be indented, can it?
It can be pressed, yeah. Close your eye and push on it.
Don't try this at home. How about new products in glasses and lenses?
Well, glasses, we've had titanium frames, but the more the titanium content has gone up, even the polymers and plastic, you see some great-looking plastic frames that you see today that are kind of retro styles that have come back with new materials that are really long-lasting materials. And lenses, one of the new is the Enchroma for color deficiency. And that is a lens that somebody who is colorblind or color deficient can put on outside and inside, and they can see the difference between colors that they've never seen before. It doesn't cure it, but technology not developed by eye people, developed by other physicists that were just interested and had a family member that was color deficient and developed a lens. So thinner lenses, anti-reflection coatings, blue light absorption, so when you're working on a computer a lot, blue light fatigues your eyes really quick. It doesn't do damage, but it fatigues them. So when you're on a computer, blue light absorption is important. So if you have just a computer pair of glasses for somebody doing that, ultraviolet absorption, your contacts absorb ultraviolet.
Oh,
Shelley.
Okay.
So you walk outside, yes. That technology is phenomenal. Okay. You're protected from ultraviolet.
But still don't look at the sun.
No, we don't want to look at the sun. No.
Yes, Dr. Gary Anderson with us, optometrist Anderson Eye Care, our All About the Eye with guests in studio to talk about this topic. You want to expand a little more about contact lenses?
Yours that absorb ultraviolet, they have a brand new lens that's called a transition lens. You've heard of transition in glasses that get darker and lighter as you go out into the sun. These contacts go outside and they darken up. And even in the evening when you're driving, there's a certain amount of tint to it. So anybody who is bothered by bright light, mm-hmm. whether it's indoors or outdoor, these lenses will help protect them and make it more comfortable. There's lenses that are, we used to be able to only correct for astigmatism and nearsightedness in a lens, or a nearsightedness in a bifocal. Mm-hmm. Now we have lenses that correct all three. So if you're nearsighted, have astigmatism, and need a bifocal, we can put all that in a soft contact lens. Scleral lenses, which are a hard lens that's gigantic, that fits over the eye, for dry eye, for conditions like keratoconus, mm-hmm. or another term nobody's ever heard of, pellucid cornea, which is a distorted front of the eyeball. And patients can go from maybe 2100 or 2200 best corrected vision to 2020 and function and have a job. So great technology in contact lenses.
Besides better testing for earlier detection of eye problems, what else does technology add to patient eye care?
One is communication between professionals. You know, referrals, communications with other docs, getting information back and forth, obviously all under HIPAA compliance, but just being able to, we don't have to not even fax things anymore. We can just get that transferred and access to our office. Hopefully our office is accessible electronically to patients, whether it's the website or text messages and emails, so communication.
Have you had to go back to school and get some computer science work to make sure technology is up to date?
No, but we do get training from some of the companies that that come out with a new instrument on doing it. Where we don't have training is on linking them together. I've got an IT guy, IT Dave, who is just an IT guy, and he is a master at connecting our instruments and helping us to, whether it's with the internet and with our electronic medical records and having one machine talk to another machine. I can't do that myself, but having somebody that's on call and to do that, IT Dave and somebody like that who's got those skills saves me a ton of time and frustration.
Last question, what's next on the technology horizon for iCare?
We heard it the other day, artificial intelligence. So, which is basically looking, having the computer look at millions of images of things. So when I look at a picture of a retina, and I'm trying to, and I can tell the really bad stuff and I can see the really good stuff, but the in-between stuff is hard to distinguish. So with artificial intelligence, we'll be able to catch that stuff sooner by having those images analyzed. So artificial intelligence will help us detect more conditions sooner.
But it won't put you out of a job.
No. Hopefully it'll help me do a better job.
Yes. When's the next vision mission trip for the Grand Rapids Lions where you do present eyeglasses, used eyeglasses to those in need?
We're on our way to Jamaica, Yaman, October 3rd or 4th or 5th, whatever that. For a week, we'll see 2,000 students in Jamaica right in the school and first through 12th graders. And probably 25% of them that we see will need glasses and they'll all get them.
Wow. Because those in the community, you out there are donating your used glasses.
Yes, so, thank you for that. We can't do it without it. That's the ammunition we need.
You bet. How do we find out more information about continuing this topic of technology and our eyes?
You can call the office at 459-7380 or check our website at www.andersoneye.com.
Thanks, Dr. Anderson.
Thank you, Shelley. Good to have you back.